Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
I thought Jesus' being here was about his death and dying on the cross, when it really was about him coming to show us how to do it, to show us the Christ consciousness that he had, and that consciousness abides with all of us.
That, of course, is Oprah Winfrey, her view of Jesus Christ and his work. She is, you know, she's known for her spirituality among all of our celebrated people. She's among the most celebrated television star, talk show host, authoress, many things. And in some ways, some have even called her America's pastor, or I guess it would be pastorette in that case, Oprah Winfrey. But she is not the only spiritual person among our celebrities and our Hollywood stars. In fact, she's only one of many. And the religions of Hollywood are varied. Sometimes we think of Hollywood as a kind of a kooky place. Is it kooky religiously any more than America is in general? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Rich Abanis is our guest to talk about religions of Hollywood. He's a former Broadway performer and television film actor, author, an award-winning author of more than 20 books in areas of world religions, cults, the occult, pop culture, and his latest is titled Religions of the Stars. We've got three copies of this book to give away to listeners with the best questions or comments this hour. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address live this Wednesday afternoon, July the 1st, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Rich Abanis, welcome back to Issues Etc.
How you doing, Todd?
Very well. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. It's always so awesome to be on your show. I appreciate it.
If I had to ask you to pick one celebrity that epitomizes the spirituality of Hollywood, who would it be and why?
Oh, that's not on the list of questions to ask me, Todd.
I don't pay attention to the list. I just ask my question.
You know, that's really hard because Hollywood, like the rest of the world, is really diverse. I mean, you've got everybody, you know, wanting to go after what is precious to them. I'm gonna give you two answers. I'm gonna say that if you're looking at the Hollywood people who, you know, really have a heart to help others and really have a desire to make the world a better place, I'm going to have to maybe go with Richard Gere and his brand of Buddhism and his desire to help people, help the people of Tibet and things like that. If you wanted to go more for the individuals who were more concerned with helping others and spreading their faith and stuff, but more concerned about, you know, getting from their religion what they could get for their own careers and for their own lives, I'd say Tom Cruise for Scientology, because Scientology is a very success-oriented and driven religion. So I'd sort of name those two.
All right. Is Hollywood any kookier religiously, spiritually, than the rest of America?
Personally, I don't think so. Maybe if you compare Hollywood with middle America and the average American, perhaps. But one of the interesting things is, you know, you're not going to find very many religions in Hollywood that you don't find anywhere else and that you don't find really popular anywhere else. I mean, you know, for example, Oprah Winfrey and her spirituality and what she's peddling is this new spirituality, which is just old New Age movement wrapped up in a 21st century costume. That's very big in America now. And so I don't think it's kookier. I do think you have people who are more outspoken about their faith because they've got the influence and the power and the good looks and the money and the everything to be able to go ahead and be out there and, you know, be all they can be and not have to worry about, you know, what their friends are going to think, what their family's going to think, what their coworkers are going to think. Hollywood's very accepting, so I would say that.
What do you think attracts – let's take Tom Cruise as an example. He's not only a famous Scientologist, he's honored by Scientology officially as kind of the Scientologist to emulate. I mean, he's a hero to Scientology in many ways, at least if you read their own stuff and look at their the way that they deal with him. And he's rather accomplished in that religion. What is it about that kind of a religion that attracts the successful, the driven, and the famous?
Well, the whole thrust of Scientology, if you look at it and get beyond some of the really, you know, stuff that maybe you and I would go, wow, that's kind of crazy. What you get from it is this notion that we can be incredibly successful, incredibly happy, incredibly fulfilled. We can let go of all those things that hurt us inside, let go of our past failures, and can really succeed in life. And for Hollywood, you know, what actor doesn't want that? And so there's a real appeal there. And one of the interesting things about Scientology is that it's actually space-based. It's sort of a great melodramatic space opera that's going around in their teachings with alien beings and us actually being Thetans from other universes and solar systems and things. And so it's kind of exciting to think about once you get to the higher levels, and that's very appealing to actors who are very into alternate realities and being people they're really not and things like this.
You call it an A-list religion, and I imagine that might have something to do with the fact that to really become accomplished in Scientology, you need some money and a lot of free time.
To say you need some money is putting it mildly. I mean, the courses, you know, the beginning things of Scientology that get you into it are pretty affordable for the average person. But as you go higher and higher up the scale of what they call the bridge to freedom, where you get deeper and deeper and deeper teachings of Scientology, yeah, you have to pay hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And these are deeply, closely guarded secrets, quote unquote, that you need to be prepared for as you go on. And so there is a huge cost there. And you know, I'm sort of the opinion that look, truth is free, spirituality is free. You don't need to pay money to go to a place where you're supposed to be getting help for your emotions and for your life. So a lot of people are against Scientology just because of that.
So in a nutshell, what do Scientologists like Tom Cruise and the other famous celebrities and general Scientologists, what do they believe? Can you boil it down for us?
Well, you know, it's really kind of I don't want to use the word strange because I don't want to sound like I'm belittling them, but it is kind of bizarre because, you know, the founder of Scientology was L. Ron Hubbard, and he was quite a good science fiction writer. And he actually incorporated much of his science fiction thoughts and ideas into his whole religion. And he believes basically that millions and millions and millions and millions of years ago, these beings called Thetans came into our universe and sort of started this game of inventing matter and reality and energy and the time-space continuum as we know it. And they placed themselves in there to sort of not be bored and have something to do, but they forgot. They forgot they were Thetans and became trapped in this universe that we all see. And throughout the course of these millions of years, terrible things happened, and engrams, which are thoughts that reside in our minds, memories that we can't remember, sort of cause trauma and anguish within us. And as we are reincarnated over and over and over again, these engrams affect us. And through Scientology, those engrams can be discovered and purged from ourselves, and that way we become whole and complete and happy. And one of the most terrible things that happened that caused engrams and implants was when an evil being named Xenu captured millions and millions of Thetans and tortured them with movies and bizarre experiences, and then ended up blowing them up in volcanoes using H-bombs after he shipped them to Earth, which was then known as Tegeaq, in huge spacecraft that looked like DC-8s.
Okay, I mean, you said you didn't, when you use the word strange, you didn't want to belittle it. When you start in Scientology, are you told this story as you walk into the door?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is something that's higher up in the levels that you need to advance to and progress to. It's called OT, or Operating Thetan 3 level. And once you get there, then you're exposed to this. But by that time, you know, you've been in it for so long, and you've swallowed all this stuff about how wonderful Hubbard was and how these deep truths are coming out, and you've spent so much money that, you know, people actually sort of have the choice of whether to accept this and keep going forward or to say, gee, I just wasted however many years of my life and however much money I just spent.
So Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes, John Travolta, Kirstie Alley, Greta Van Susteren, Leah Remini, Lisa Marie Presley, they believe this stuff.
Yeah, I don't know about Katie Holmes. I don't think she's reached OT3 level yet. She's still beginning, but definitely Tom Cruise, I believe Kirstie Alley, John Travolta. I mean, yeah, these people who have gone up to, you know, the level they are they're well past that. So if they are progressing forward, I would say yes, this is what they believe. And I have a whole synopsis of what this story of Xenu is in the book, so people can read it. And it's even much, well, let me say, it's much deeper than that even. So it's pretty fascinating.
Rich Abanis is our guest. We're talking about the religions of pop culture icons. He's a former Broadway performer and television and film actor, award-winning author of more than 20 books in the area of world religions, cults, the occult, pop culture. And his latest book is called Religions of the Stars, What Hollywood Believes and How It Affects You. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Wednesday, July the 1st.
Never been a sinner, I never sinned.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
I think it's a privilege to call yourself a Scientologist, and it's something that you have to earn. And because a Scientologist does, he or she has the ability to create new and better realities and improve conditions. We are the authorities on getting people off drugs. We are the authorities on the mind. We are the authorities on improving conditions. Criminon, we can rehabilitate criminals. Way to happiness, we can bring peace and unite cultures.
That's Tom Cruise, a fully devoted Scientologist in his own words, and one of the spokesmen for Scientology worldwide, but also a celebrity, and not the only Scientologist or the only religious celebrity out there. We're talking about the Religions of the Stars. Rich Abanas is our guest. Our in-studio email address on this Wednesday afternoon, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Rich, when I watch this, it kind of scares me a little bit. When I watch the kind of the claims of Scientology and the forcefulness with which it is often presented by celebrities like Cruise. Should I be?
Well, you know, one of the interesting things about Scientology, unlike, let's say, you know, Buddhism, is that they are extremely unhappy about people who criticize them. This is why over the years you have seen a lot of lawsuits launched by Scientology. You have seen a lot of, in various newspaper reports, people talking about how they were physically threatened, psychologically intimidated. There have been various court cases about how crimes have been committed or attempted to be committed in order to guard the sanctity of Scientology. And so, yeah, there is some trepidation when people write about, talk about Scientology. And so that's one of the religions that people have had to be a little worried about. And, you know, it depends on your take on what they're doing and how they're doing it. And so that can be problematic, unlike some of the other faiths that I talk about.
Just one more question. When I was watching, going through some production and watching Tom Cruise talk about Scientology, and he's kind of their evangelist, he was talking about SPs. What are they?
SPs are suppressive persons. That gets very close to what we're dealing with when I was talking about critics, and that would include critics of the church, ex-members who come out and say some negative things about Scientology. And there are ways that suppressive persons or SPs are to be handled by Scientologists, and I talk about this in their documentation, where they basically tell their members to take them down and to use various tactics to cast aspersions on their character, ruin their credibility in the public's eye. There's a lot of documentation about this. In fact, the St. Petersburg Times, if people are interested, has just launched a very long three-part series on Scientology and some of these things that I'm talking about. One thing I do want to say, though, if you listen to Tom Cruise, even though that video that's up at YouTube of him that was leaked from the inner structure of Scientology, some of the things he's saying, though, you have to understand, he's talking about, you know, trying to help people get off drugs, trying to help criminals, trying to make the world a better place. So in some ways, you've always got to think that, and I always try to cut people some slack and think the best of everyone and say, you know, in his heart of hearts, as strange as this all may sound, he may really have a sincere desire inside to help people. And that's one thing we can always keep in our minds as we share our faith with those who disagree with us.
You mentioned before Richard Gere is kind of emblematic of Hollywood spirituality. He's a guy who doesn't scare me. Buddhists, mostly keep to themselves. Is there kind of this sense of a privatized religion when it comes to the religions of our stars?
It's Richard Gere. I think he and people like Keanu Reeves, who's also into Buddhism, they have really served to bring Buddhism out into the public. They actually have a DVD that's been put out now that talks about Buddhism, sort of a basic for people who want to know more about what Buddhism is. They're getting more involved in social activism for Tibet and things like this. And so when it comes to all the religions in Hollywood, not just Buddhism, but we're starting to see it become more public and more out there for everybody. They're really starting to reach out, and that's where the influence is coming from on the average population from celebrities.
Let's go back to Oprah Winfrey. You said that she has cobbled together a kind of New Ageism that apparently lends her a lot of credibility with her fans. What do we know of her religious background and what exactly she believes? And how popular is that belief?
Well, you know, Oprah was actually raised in a Christian church for many, many years. But at some point, she felt like it was not what she wanted. As she puts it, there were just, you know, rules and doctrine and do's and don'ts and things like this. So it seems that she became sort of disillusioned with that. And if you look at some of the things she says that she learned about Christianity, you start seeing right away that maybe she didn't get the best teaching about what Christianity really is. And therefore, when she rejected traditional Christianity, she wasn't really rejecting traditional Christianity. She was rejecting this idea of what it might be or what it, she was taught it was. And so she sort of has found these New Age teachings about peace and love and oneness with the universe, and we are all basically good people, and blended that with some of her Christian ideas. You know, she'll throw Jesus in there. She'll throw God in there, the Holy Spirit, things like this. But she changes radically her definition and her viewpoint of what and who Jesus was, what he did. As the little recording you played showed, she, you know, used to think he came to die for our sins on the cross and rose again from the dead. And that's what, you know, Christianity teaches. But she says now that he basically came to show her the Christ consciousness and how to be God, or how to find our own divinity within us. And that's just classic New Age, and basically that all roads lead to God.
What is Kabbalah, and why do we find a few like Madonna and Ashton Kutcher following what would probably otherwise be considered kind of an esoteric sect of Judaism?
Yeah, it is esoteric, and you know, basically that's just something that's very mysterious or hidden. That's not really out there. You know, Kabbalah is, even for the longest time, Todd, I didn't really know what Kabbalah was until I really started getting into it. It's fascinating. It's a really interesting mixture of Judaism, Jewish concepts, Jewish history, and some of these magical, occult, esoteric, ancient texts from the medieval era and before that were sort of, you know, blended with Judaism, and it became sort of a kind of Jewish magic. I mean, that's kind of what it is. And you can gain power and influence and wealth and the things that you want by going through these various teachings, doing some chanting, doing some reading over these supposed magical texts. Maybe some of your listeners are aware of this myth called the Golem, which was a creature that could supposedly be fashioned out of inanimate clay and then brought to life by putting segments of magical Jewish words in the golem's head. And this is all part of the fantasy and the sort of mythology and legend that surrounds Kabbalah. That's traditional, and yet even with Madonna at the Kabbalah Center, which is sort of a pop culture popularized Hollywood version of Kabbalah, you get more of the idea of magic water and some of these other things that even, to be honest, traditional Kabbalists sort of wince at because they think it's sort of been corrupted by people like Madonna.
The one religion that you mentioned in your book, the spirituality that I would not expect to find in Hollywood, simply because Hollywood has a reputation for kind of dissipate lifestyles, is Mormonism. Are there Mormons in Hollywood among our celebrities?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it started out. That actually started out long ago with, of course, Donnie and Marie Osmond. You know, they're Mormons, and, of course, their sort of family image fit very, very well into the 1970s and 1980s. But, yeah, there's a lot of Mormons in Hollywood. You will not see them as much because, you're right, you know, most of the movies these days are R-rated, and Mormons can't really even go to see R-rated movies. But you'll find them there, not just a little bit in the acting roles, but then also more specifically in roles where they are directors, producers, musicians, and they are making sort of a rise now within Hollywood because there are certain aspects of Hollywood now that have recognized maybe some family-friendly movies are making some money out there, especially even some religious movies.
We're talking with Mitch Abanas about the religions of our stars. He's got a book called Religions of the Stars, What Hollywood Believes and How It Affects You. And we're giving this book away to listeners with best questions or comments on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 1st. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin, 1-877-623-6943, or talkback@issuesetc.org. When we come back, a little bit more on the Mormonism in Hollywood, and I guess it's difficult when you're a celebrity to always be forthright about your religion. Are there any Christians there? I mean, we know of people who claim to be Christians. Are there Christians in Hollywood? And if so, how is that for them? We'll also have to talk about the degree to which our celebrities are worshipped themselves in pop culture. They are themselves the object of at least a kind of civil worship. We call them our icons, our divas, our idols, and they have their gods too. Rich Abanas is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What does Issues Etc. mean to you? Later this month, we'll celebrate the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8384. What does Issues Etc. mean to you? 618-223-8384.
We at NewReformationPress.com are committed to providing a hand-picked selection of books and teaching materials that educate, inform, and entertain while relentlessly focusing on the gospel. Discover our growing library of resources by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn radio program, including his powerful address, The Gospel for Those Broken by the Church, or Bible in an Hour by Pastor Wade Butler. And be sure not to miss our selection of t-shirts, gifts, and artwork. NewReformationPress.com. Finally, Reformation theology made accessible.
A Kabbalist believes that he or she has the responsibility to make the world a better place. In Kabbalah, we learn that if we want something in life, we have to give something.
That, of course, is Madonna talking about her, well, her religion du jour, Kabbalah, among the celebrities and the pop culture icons who profess some kind of a spirituality or religion. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're giving away three copies of the new book, Religions of the Stars, by Rich Abanas, to listeners with the best questions or comments. Our call-in number live this Wednesday afternoon, the 1st of July, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. I want to get to Michael Jackson here in a moment, but one more thing on the Mormons in Hollywood.
You said that there's money in family fare. Do you expect that Mormonism, if it's seen as a kind of a profitable thing, that there might in fact be in the future a prominent Mormon celebrity?
Yeah, well, you know, it could be. We have a couple right now. John Heder, who is the star of Napoleon Dynamite. I didn't know if you knew he was a Mormon, but he is a Mormon, and he sort of has a kind of a cult following. But probably maybe the largest faithful Mormon would be Ricky Schroeder, who, of course, was the child star of Silver Spoons. He's very dedicated to his faith. And so, you know, we're seeing this type of caliber. David Archuleta, who is American Idol Season 7 winner, incredible singer. He's a Mormon. So, you know, they're trying to get into those roles and into those areas of show business that they're not going to have to compromise on some of their ethics and morality, which, of course, as you know, mirror traditional Christian ethics and morality. So in many ways. I think we might be seeing that in the future. If I can I say something about that Madonna quote?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's interesting if you notice, and this explains very well what Kabbalah is. She said, if you want something, you have to give something. And that it's that kind of motivation you see in Kabbalah, people doing things and trying to help the world and trying to give back to society, not just for the sake of doing that, but so that in a sort of karmic type of way, that will turn back around and come back to you as good things. So it's kind of a selfish motivation, whereas traditional Christianity says you give things, you give something, you love others, you contribute, you try to help just for the sake of that being like Christ and you trying to live your life like Christ, not to get something back. So there's sort of a difference right there that we can see immediately.
Someone who's already kind of been, in terms of pop culture, sainted after his recent death, Michael Jackson, obviously famous for so many things. What do we know about his spiritual life during his life?
You know, Michael Jackson was really all over the place. He was raised a Jehovah's Witness. He at one point seemed to be flirting with Nation of Islam. There was talk of him actually going not to Nation of Islam but to traditional Islam and becoming a Muslim. And then there was talk about him actually looking at Christianity. So, you know, to be honest, I don't know. And he was so reclusive, especially over the last, you know, 10 years maybe. There was just very little out there in the way of writings that he had or statements that he made. I just don't know. And you know, that whole thing is such a tragedy anyway. It's unfortunate. I don't know where he was.
By kind of odd juxtaposition, when I listened to Tom Cruise earlier on Scientology, a rather utopian view of how he can change the world with the right tools of Scientology, watching one of those retrospectives on Michael Jackson, a famous interview with a journalist, wherein he had not so much in religious terms, but the same kind of idea: I want the world to live at peace. I want everyone. This is what I want for the world. Is there an impulse in our celebrities, either that makes them celebrities or they get it after they become celebrities, of this kind of, I can change the world, I can make things better?
Well, you know, I think anyone who has a heart, I mean, anyone who is just not, you know, the coldest, worst person ever, they look at the suffering they see in the world, whether it's in their own country or elsewhere in the world, and they want to make a difference. I mean, that's why people contribute to charities. And sometimes when people with maybe a good heart become so powerful and influential and wealthy, they look around and think, you know, what can I do to help? I mean, we see that in Oprah Winfrey. I may completely disagree with her on her views of the Bible and God and Jesus Christ and what Christianity is and everything, but if you look at her life as just a person, she really has demonstrated a commitment to trying to make the world a better place for people all over, you know, even especially her staff. I mean, her staff love her. She's so kind to them, supportive of them. She just gives out things here and there, you know. So I think when people get to a certain level, they want to do that. And the unfortunate thing is, is they forget they're just human, and they really think they can do that. And sometimes they get trapped in a circle of thinking, you know, they're more than what they are.
We're talking about the religions of the stars with Rich Abanas. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Jim in Pasco, Washington is on the line. Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the great show.
Thank you.
Since Hollywood actors and actresses seem to be so insulated from everyone, how does one go about even witnessing to them? I mean, is there a mission field there? How does that work?
That's a very interesting question.
Yeah, that's really a great question. People like you and me and Todd and the average person who's not in Hollywood, you're never going to get to them. Who is going to get to them are the ones in Hollywood who are Christians and who are living the Christian life in Hollywood. They are there. There are Christians in Hollywood. I was in Hollywood, and I was at a place where I was beginning to walk in those circles that were spiraling upwards. And had God wanted me to stay in show business, I would be among many others who are there who would be able to talk to these people. When it comes to you and me now, though, I think the best way to do it is to use society's fascination with who these stars are, and whether it's your family or your friends or your coworkers, kind of know what these stars believe, and you can use that as opportunities to start conversations about spirituality and make changes wherever God has placed you in the world. And that can be a great opportunity.
Carrie in Minnesota with an email, she comments, these religions all have the same thing in common, what they do instead of what he, namely Jesus Christ, did. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that does separate all the other religions and cults in the world from Christianity is that all other faith-based systems is what we can do to reach up to God, what works we can accomplish to make ourselves better, to elevate us in the spiritual realm. Whereas with Christianity, it's God completely reaching down to us and saying, I've done it all for you in the person of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, rose from the dead, and through faith in him, you have eternal life with me. And the things we do is just an outworking of the change that has happened within us, and it's God working through us to do all these things for humanity. So that is a huge difference.
Is the occult alive and well? First, you probably should define the term, the occult. Is the occult alive and well in Hollywood too?
Oh, yeah, sure, definitely it is. And the occult, of course, is a really, as you know, broad category of all kinds of different beliefs and practices and celebrations and traditions that basically revolve around what used to be known as hidden or secret things. That's what the word occult means, hidden or secret. And so from this we get those practices like Ouija boards and seances and tarot cards and these things that you do or you get involved in to find out secret or hidden knowledge about the world around you. And then once you know that knowledge, you can act accordingly and have a better life. And that is very, very big in Hollywood, especially, I would say, the particular brand of occultism known as Wicca, which is another word for witchcraft. It's modern witchcraft. And unfortunately, a lot of people confuse Wicca or witchcraft with Satanism, and that's not what it is. You know, most Wiccans are nature-loving, peaceful, kind, gentle. You know, they just leave us alone and we'll leave you alone, and we believe in this oneness of the universe and peace and all this stuff. But that's very big and popular in Hollywood. Sybil Shepherd, very well-known actress, was involved in Wicca, as are several others. But there's still sort of this stigma around the occult and Wicca and witchcraft. So you're not going to see those stars being quite as open. But from people who are in the industry and who work in you know, large bookstores in Hollywood that are occult-oriented, they see stars coming in all the time.
Rich Abanas is our guest. 10 more minutes with him on the other side of this break this Wednesday afternoon, July the 1st, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943 or talkback at issuesetc.org. Richard Bonas is a former Broadway performer and television and film actor, an award-winning author of more than 20 books in the areas of world religions, cults, the occult, and pop culture. His latest book, Religions of the Stars, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Before we conclude our conversation, why does it matter what the stars believe? Stay tuned.
Because no one is going to lose their soul.
Days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown in Kirkwood and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be a
then
human
how do
being
you please
and,
God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God. Okay, I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It's not religion, Oprah.
I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It was easy then to tell truth from lies.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the religions of the stars. Richard Bonas is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Listeners with the best questions or comments will get Richard Bonas' book, Religions of the Stars, 1-877-623-6943. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. Rich, here's a listener with a question. What do most other religions think happened to them after they die, or do they all differ in that way?
There's as many answers to that as there are religions. I mean, it's all very, very, very different. You know, if you go to Buddhism, which is actually essentially an atheistic religion, they don't really have a concept of God in Buddhism. It's more about just surviving here and evolving here into the best entity that you can be, and spreading peace and going on to a point of after death, eventually of absolute dissolution. Nothing exists. You have other religions maybe that believe after a series of reincarnations you reach a state of nirvana where you have total peace and happiness, but it's a very sort of impersonal thing. You have other religions that simply don't know. Oprah Winfrey, Eckhart Tolle is huge. I mean, he is one of her gurus of choice. And when he's giving all this advice about how to live and spirituality and everything, and finally when she asked him, well, Eckhart, what do you believe happens after we die? He basically, very honestly, to his credit, said, I don't know. I don't think about it very much. So, and people seem to be fine with that. So it just goes from different religion to different religion. Mormons, of course, believe that their families exist forever and that they become gods and continue to have families for all eternity, and those families that they have will eventually worship them as gods. So you have all kinds of answers.
All right. You mentioned Oprah, and we heard that cut from her coming out of the break, and she espouses quite boldly that there are many paths. In fact, maybe even all paths lead to God. And I wonder if that could kind of summarize in some ways, if not the particular religious beliefs, but the general idea that prevails among our stars. It doesn't really matter whether it's Kabbalah, Scientology, all paths lead to God. Are some of these religions actually exclusive?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very appealing thought. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It would be great if we had some sort of reality that told us, yeah, everyone, whatever you believe, whatever you choose, whatever path is there, it'll all go to the same place. That sounds nice. But when you look at all the different paths, when you look at Mormonism as opposed to traditional Christianity, as opposed to Buddhism, as opposed to New Ageism, as opposed to whatever, many of these beliefs, when it comes to who God is, what God is, who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ is, what happens after death, it's all very, very different. And they are often mutually exclusive. For example, just Mormonism and Christianity, two religions that get confused very, very often. Mormonism teaches that there are many, many personal gods out there in the universe, whereas Christianity teaches there is only one true God that exists. That's it. You have the New Age movement that says there's a God, but it's not a personal God. It's not a God that we can actually relate to. It's just this amorphous energy field that's out there. So, you know, these religions are very different. They all can't be true. They all might be false. Logically, you could say that, but you can't say they all can be true because they contradict each other.
When I asked you before, as someone who is emblematic of Hollywood religious beliefs, you said Richard Gere probably is most emblematic. Who is the most influential among our celebrated people, the pop culture icons, with religious beliefs?
Yeah, hands down, Oprah Winfrey. I don't even have to think about it. I mean, she is. She has repeatedly over the years hit the top spot on the most influential celebrity, the most powerful celebrity, the wealthiest celebrity. I mean, she is number one. Her outreach and her influence, and this gets to why it's so important for us to know what these celebrities believe, it reaches tens of millions, hundreds of millions all over the world. And so she is absolutely the one right there.
Is it simply a kind of a matter of the brand that is Oprah and the credibility that goes along with it? If she says Eckhart Tolle helps her in her life, then a fair percentage of her fans are going to say, you know, I might want to check out Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Oprah Winfrey's got a lot of credibility as well as a lot of clout. She's a nice person. She's a great person. Everybody loves her. The things she says are completely unoffensive. And so, yeah, when she says everything from listen to Eckhart Tolle, believe this spirituality, to go out and get this wonderful handbag, or here's a new makeup set that's great for you, or, you know, contribute to this charity, it all sort of falls into the same category of a celebrity has said it, therefore it must be true. And that, you know, goes with everything in our society. So that's where the influence is coming in. But she's really high up there.
Near the end of your book, you talk about the Hollywood effect. What do you mean by that?
Well, the Hollywood effect is how we are influenced by Hollywood, how our view of celebrity can completely change how we dress, how we think, who we vote for. We've seen that. And this is most telling when it comes to young kids and teenagers. I've seen many instances and read many accounts where people, for example, went over and had a personality test with Scientology because they thought, well, if it's good enough for Tom Cruise and John Travolta, who are two of the finest actors in Hollywood, it certainly must be okay. And that's how they get into it. So this Hollywood effect is something that is really important to understand. What's most important to understand, and I use sort of this tale about a Muppet show that I saw where this wonderfully beautiful Muppet was on television and started singing that song, I Feel Pretty. And yet during her little song, she started taking off all of her makeup and nose parts and things, and she turned into a monster. And so there's sort of this illusion of Hollywood. Everybody in Hollywood and almost everything in Hollywood is an illusion. And that includes sort of these faiths that we hear about. They promise a lot, and they deliver very little. And that's why we as Christians need to give the reality and the solid, valid faith that has a lot more behind it than just a celebrity or a pretty face.
Then with 1 minute, do the apologist's task here, in addition to all the research, and tell us the truth claims of these spiritualities compared to the truth claims of historic Christianity. With 1 minute, how do they compare?
Well, if I believed in any other faith, and I've looked at many other faiths, I would go be that. I would be a Buddhist. I would be a Mormon. I would be a Hindu. I would be a whatever. But after years of looking again and again at my faith, and my faith in Christ and my Christianity was not something I found 20 years ago and then I never looked at it again. Every time I've investigated another religion or another faith, it's made me ask questions about my own faith. Then the difference is that I have seen continually, when it comes to Christianity, there is a Bible, holy writings that are reliable, that are trustworthy, that have been steadfast over the years. There are lives that have been changed in a way that I've not seen in some of these other religions. And as I look at how the Christian faith is taught and what it teaches and what Christ said, I don't find those teachings in any other faith. That doesn't mean Christians are perfect. It doesn't mean everybody who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. But when you look at the person of Jesus Christ, unlike any other faith or religion, Christianity is founded on a person of Jesus Christ, who he was, and what he did. It's more based on that than just something he said that anybody could have said. Jesus was God the Son who died for our sins and rose from the dead, and that's the big difference.
Folks, when you purchase Rich Abanis' new book, Religions of the Stars, using the Amazon.com link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click On Demand, and look for Religions of the Stars by Rich Abanis. Rich Abanis is a former Broadway performer and television and film actor, an award-winning author of more than 20 books in the area of world religions, cults, the occult, and pop culture. His latest book, Religions of the Stars. Rich, thank you again.
Thank you, Todd.
Jim in Pasco, Washington. Carrie in Minnesota. Send us an email with your mailing address, and we'll send you Rich's book, Religions of the Stars. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to Dr. Harold Netland of Trinity Divinity School about Buddhism. The real difference. Rich put his finger right on it. The real difference. What does Buddhism not have that Christianity does? What does Scientology not have that Christianity does? What does Kabbalah not have that Christianity does? What does the pop spirituality, the find the God within beliefs of Oprah Winfrey not have that Christianity does have? A risen Christ, a risen Savior, a Savior who bleeds and dies for a world of sinners and rises again as a finished sacrifice. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.